There are some of you that the Lord just brings to me, and I take some time to pray for you in details and, you know, at length, and I know God is doing, is up to something good in our lives. Amen. We just don't want to be known as a church, you know, a church there in Farmers Branch, but we want to be known for our holiness. We want to be known for our righteousness. I want people to desire to come here because when they meet with Brother Tony, they will get nourishments from that brother, because there's something deep within that has been deposited within us. Praise be to God. That is the desire of my heart this morning. Praise be to God. I just want us to open our Bibles into the book of Luke, chapter number 35. I mean, chapter number 18, verse number 35-39. And I believe that you're going to be blessed today, because this day is a special day that the Lord has made. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, I'm prepared to be blessed by the Lord. Church, I tell you, man, every single time I think of coming to the house of God, it excites me. And there must be something that also propels you to come to the house of God, and you long and desire. Sunday morning when it comes, you wake up in the morning and you're ready to come here. I believe that you don't come here because after the service you're going to have a cup of tea. I also do not believe that you come here because after the service you're going to meet with your friend, shake hands, hug. But I believe there is something more that brings you into the house of God. It is that corporate fellowship when we join our hearts together, when we corporately lift up our hands and bless the name of the Lord. There is nothing so dramatic and so appealing, even in the heavenly places, when Jesus and the whole heavenly host when they look down on us and they are seeing holy hands lifting up, blessing the name of the Lord. There is nothing as that. And there is nothing like when you open up your voice and let loose your voice and uninhibited, just let loose and bless the name of the Lord. There is nothing as sweet. Let me tell you, you invoke even the saints of old who are long gone, and they stand to their feet as they join us as we worship and as we glorify the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I wish we know the secret that when brother Rod is strumming on that bass and when brother Israel is playing on that keyboard and we are soaring up like eagles, and I feel that the Lord is ministering to me, at that very moment there is an opportunity for you to receive. So when you come to the house of God, come prepared. Come prepared to worship God. Come prepared because you have an opportunity. We've been blessed with brothers and sisters that we can corporately come together and lift up our holy hearts and hands unto the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I am so excited about what God has done in our lives this day. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 18, verse number 35. And I think I'll read just the first two verses, and then I'll explain later. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Touch somebody, tell them, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he called out saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Verse number 39, let me read if you can allow me. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse number 40, and Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. Somebody say, Lord, help me regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight, because your faith has made you well. And the Bible says in verse number 43, and immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, in this portion of the scripture that you have given us, Lord, I pray that we shall get out some gems that you've deposited in this part of the scripture. I know this portion of the scripture is going to be a blessing to somebody. Father, we are attentive. We want to listen to you. And we are opening our inner ears so that we may hear what the Spirit is speaking to us today. We thank you because your word never goes out and fails to accomplish the purpose for which you send it to do. And I know that this word will come out forth, Lord, and it will touch somebody and accomplish the purpose for which you have put it in my heart today so that we may share with us this day. I know it will accomplish something, Father. May you be glorified in all these things, Lord. Thou art welcome in this sanctuary. May you bless our hearts. We are waiting on you. Please, Daddy, come and help us understand. Come and help us so that we can be able, Lord, even to love you all the more. For all these things we pray, believing and trusting in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. A couple months ago, I believe, must have been probably a year ago, we had an appointment, I think, with Minister Julius down in downtown Dallas, and I happened to go by, you know, to wait for, you know, I happened to wait for somebody. I was seeing somebody on my way to see him, and I happened to come by a school of the blind by somewhere, and I don't even know how I ended up there. And as I kept staying there, you know, waiting for this person to come and meet with me, I saw people just streaming, and I was actually unaware that there was a facility for the blind actually in the area where I was. But what really, I saw something that really ministered to me in a very, very special way. And I saw men coming out of that school with some white sticks, and they were tapping as they were going along. And what really amazed me is how they found their way. And I realized, oh, this is a facility for the blind. And everybody was coming, and there was a grocery store nearby, and they would come. There was a place that had been calibrated on the road. It was kind of like a crossing area. And they would come, each and every one. I would see two blind people coming, and they would tap their way. And as they continued to tap their way, they would actually stop at that very place. And they would actually wait, and actually when there was no car, they would tap their way and cross across the street, and they would go to the grocery store, and they would come back and go back to school. And I saw that repeatedly over several people coming there, and I was really standing, I really wondered how would they find their way, you know, into the grocery store. I know this is a familiar place, but how has it been calculated within their brain to know the right distance to go and to cross over to the grocery store and come back and go back to their school? Let me tell you, that really mesmerized me. But even in that occasion, I was given an opportunity to glorify God. That it is of great. We cannot really fathom how God works in a human mind. There is so much that God has deposited in us that should we just be given a glimpse of understanding what a human being is capable of doing, even in the course of being deficient of some senses, we would be mesmerized and would just give God the glory. Praise be to God. And I was also stunned how God has given a human being to coordinate these other senses to fill in for a sense that is deficient in a human being to work out all so well. And these people would operate like they would have sight. And I glorified God during that experience. I was just wanting to tell you about how my experience with the blind people. And I know that if any one of these people that I saw just crossing the street would be asked, I know there would be a long, long thought desire that I wish I can see. There are people who become blind You know, after they are born, there are people who are born blind so that they have never seen anything. I know there are people who become blind after, you know, after they have been born and they have lived. We have a living example like Paul of Tarsus. You know, the Paul the Apostle. We know that Jesus met with him on his way to Damascus, and he made him blind for 3 days. Praise be to God. And here we read of a story of a man who was blind, and Jesus is walking by. And as he was walking by, something, you know, Jesus was being followed by a multitude. Wherever Jesus was, he was doing good. He was opening up, he was unstopping deaf ears, he was opening up blind eyes, he was healing the lame, and he was, the fact that Jesus was performing miracles attracted so much crowd that moved with him. And I believe that this man also, in spite of him being blind, he had heard about Jesus of Nazareth. And he had heard about what he was doing, that he was going about healing people. He was going about performing miracles. And I think this man, after hearing about all this, he longed for a time. And just as the Bible tells us, as Jesus was walking by, and somebody told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Praise be to God. Immediately, this man was never the same. He decided, you know what? I heard about what Jesus of Nazareth is able to do. I've heard of the reports that has taken place in the meetings where Jesus has attended. I've heard of reports of him healing the lame. I've heard of him raising up the dead. And this is my opportunity. Praise be to God. Tell somebody, you have an opportunity. Yeah, he said, this is my opportunity. I've heard of what he has done. And I know that I'm not able even to trace or fight through the crowd so that I can stand before him. But I can do something to attract him, so because I am tired of what I am. Praise be to God. Now, there are several things that happened to this blind man. And stay with me, because in the long run, you're going to be blessed. Praise be to God. There are several things I want you to know about this man. That even though he was sick, even though he was blind, yet he was able to perceive certain things within his heart. In other words, he was able to see certain things that even sighted people are not able to see today. He saw opportunity and he realized, I am not going to let this opportunity slip by. Praise be to God. Now, before I even dwell further into this story, I want to talk a little bit about opportunity. Talk to somebody, tell them opportunity. Now, an opportunity is always targeted to a need. An opportunity is always targeted to a need. I don't care who you are. I don't even care your background. I don't even care what you have grown up, where you grew up. But I know, just as the Bible tells me in the book of Psalms, the time and opportunity has been afforded to all. And God distributes his opportunities according to the needs there are in the world. There has been opportunities that have come into your life, and in some of those opportunities, you failed to jump onto those opportunities. When an opportunity comes into your life, within it is prepackaged and has every tool that you would need for the need that will meet the need in which you have. Praise be to God. So an opportunity is always targeted towards a need. Hallelujah. And God has prepackaged an opportunity for each and every one of us, regardless of the places where we work, regardless of the status of life where we are, regardless of our positions in life. And he is able to align those opportunities according to the places and the position where we are in life. And God designs them in a certain way so that you will be able to realize that this is an opportunity. Praise be to God. That's why you wanted to enroll in a class in March. And because God wanted you to deliver a message to somebody who was supposed to move from a southern state to Texas in July. That's why that class has been blocked. And a way has been opened for you in July. Just because God wants opportunity to meet with a need. And many times we find ourselves complaining when a door is shut. And little do we know that God is working something within us. Glory be to Jesus. The book of Philippians, Paul edifies the Philippians and he tells them, it is God who works some work within me. Touch somebody, tell them, God is at work through me. God works some work, in my life, both to will and to act according to his pleasure and purpose. So regardless whether you do not know, you might be looking down on yourself, but I want you to know, child of God, that there is some construction that is going on within you. There is an alignment and there's some screwing of some bolts within you that God is at work, whether you know it or not, my brother. And he does that work so that you can will and act according to his own will and pleasure. That is why that door has slammed on you. Because if you took on that door, you would meet some people who shout down your destiny. Don't complain when that door is shut, because when that door is shut, he is shut for a reason. And God is looking for a determined time in the near future to open a door so that you could meet with your opportunity, Sister Anne, if you didn't know that. Hallelujah. So don't complain when a certain door is shut. Rejoice and say, God, I thank you for this door that has been closed. I look forward to pursuing my goal. I will pray without ceasing. And at the right time, Lord, I know that you shall open that door. Because when you open that door, I'm going to get into that door and I'm going to meet with my divine destiny. I'm going to meet with my divine connection when that door is open. Hallelujah. Some of us have been frustrated when you applied for your job and they ran your credit and everything turned out negative and you couldn't get that job and you started complaining and hollering and saying, God is against me. No. God is not against you. He's working something for you. I wish he can open up the panorama of your future. And I thank God for Brother Julius. He admonishes us, look yourself in the future. If only God can open up your future and see the great things that he has ordained for you. I may be without money today, but look, let me look myself in the future, because I'm going to have some money in the bank. Glory to Jesus. Situations that we go through on a daily basis, some of those situations are so demoralizing. And if you be myopic, in other words, short-sighted, and just concentrate on the things that are happening within our lives, within a certain period of time, then we will never even rejoice and know and be glad in our salvation. Because life is not made out of the little experiences that you go through. Those little experiences that we go through are supposed to be a stepping stone so that it can launch you to a greatness. Glory be to Jesus. I thank God for the words of John Wesley. You know what John Wesley said? It is good. And it is wonderful when I live my life without any trouble, when I don't have any sickness, when I'm able to pay my bills, when that bill comes, I'm able to write a check even without worrying whether that check is gonna jump the other side. You know, there's sometimes when you write check and it jumps the other side, and the banks tell you, "Hello, $35." How many of you have gone through that? Come on, don't lie. I know you've gone through that. I don't have to be like you. You've always been rich. I know you've been broke sometimes. And you wrote a check. And you know you had good intentions to write that check. But you receive a letter from Bank of America. Hello, $35. John Wesley said this. It is good when I don't have any sickness. It is good when I don't have any trouble. It is good when I'm having peace within my family. It's good when everything is running so smoothly. But it is better when I am faced with a mountain
It is better when I'm faced with a deficiency. It is better when trouble hits my house, because in such circumstances, I'm able to appreciate the grace of the Lord. I'm able to see the grace of the Lord at work. Glory be to Jesus. And no wonder this singer sang and said, now I thank God for the mountains. I even thank him for the valleys. And I thank him for the troubles he lets me see. If I hadn't any problems, I would never know how God would solve them. I would never know what my faith in God would do. Through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus. I have learned to trust in God. Through it all, I have learned to depend upon his word. Grievances, I mean deficiencies and things that come and hit you as they seem to be coming from on the left, on the right, from the back. Those are good because you know what? They're able. Let me tell you, church, it's very, very difficult for a human being to really appropriate it and really appreciate the grace of the Lord when everything is going so smooth. When you're able to write a check without no problem, somebody comes to knock on your door, we don't have food, and you're able, you know your pantry is full and you're able to give some food, you may not really completely appreciate the grace of the Lord. But let me tell you, when trouble hits, you are able to go back to your father, kneel down and tell God, God, if you never came in this situation, I'm gonna be a shame in the community. Lord, come and help me. Come and take me out of this quagmire. I am stuck and I need your help. At that time, the grace of the Lord will come find its way creeping into every area, into your bedroom, into your relationships, into your house, and makes everything. And that's why I will tell you, church, let me tell you, it is good to come to God when everything is going on okay, because you never know when trouble will strike. Come to the house. Come, call your brother, call your sister when everything is going on okay, because you might never when you might need them. Are you listening to me? So opportunity is prepackaged, church. Listen, let me tell you, God was speaking this to me when I was in my shower. I had to get him out of my shower to write this down. My wife told me, what are you doing? I told him, the Holy Spirit just came over me and I have to write this down because I have to tell the church about it. God prepackages opportunities to each one of us. And you can go read. I already spoke to you about Ecclesiastes 9:11. Listen, opportunity will always invoke opposition. Are you listening to me? When an opportunity comes, the enemy knows that when Ra takes up this opportunity, it might be going to school. When he takes up this opportunity, this man is going to serve the Lord better. And I am going to create an opposition. When Nehemiah wanted to build up the walls, guess what? A Sanballat was just there when he needed him. When an opportunity comes and it requires you, Sister Joyce, to jump into that opportunity, guess what? Wait for your Sanballat. And your Sanballat will be just around you. Are you listening to me? Is it not amazing when these people wanted to shut up this man from shouting up Julius? They wanted to shut him down. They wanted, come on, keep quiet. And a few days later, they're the ones who are saying, crucify him. Human beings have never changed. They have never changed since the days of Moses. Yeah? God delivers them out of Egypt. Yeah? And he actually makes a way in Red Sea. And after they cross over, you know, over the other side, oh, we are so bothered with this manna. You know, wasn't there was garlic in Egypt. We could eat avocados. We could eat whatever. Even burgers in Egypt. What is this manna that you're bringing us? Human beings are never, let me tell you, watch your relationships. I was telling the other people the other day, I'm very, very scary now. This year, so many of my friends, not anybody within here in the church. Unless you say, am I the one? All of you are my friends. But I've interacted with some business people. People I thought were my brothers. People I would entrust them with my choices, anything, except for my wife and children.
Thank you.
I mean, people who are very close to me, and I would entrust them with business transactions. Let me tell you, every single one of them let me down. And they took a chunk of my money, and they ran away. And when I try to call them so that they can bring back my money, Brother Benny, they say, oh, some of them will not even pick up my phone. Friends. And I told these friends of mine, now I'm so even careful. Even the friends that I used to have before, I'm really, really have to evaluate who they are. Actually, to be honest with you, can I speak it so dramatically to you? I am stepping on the ground like it has landmines, because I don't know which friend is going to blow up on me. I'm still checking them out. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know you. I've known you for 4 years. I've known you for 2 years, but I think I need to know much more about you, because I don't know whether I need to trust you. Seriously. Did I not tell you that? I'm very, very skeptical. Very, very skeptical. Even people that I've dealt with, because whenever opportunity comes, the devil will use the very people who are my friends to come and shout down my destiny. Brother Maish, I tell you the truth. I'm very, very careful. I think I'm oversensitive. And I think the Lord needs to deal with my mind, because I've been let down so much. I'm telling God, help my mind so that I don't see everybody like wants to get something out of me. Oh, I see. Pastor, hey, Pastor, how are you doing? Okay, then tell me what you want. Tell me. Actually, you know what? You know, there's that thing you program on the phone when people call you. I am sorry. I don't think I've sent anybody this. There was that generic message that from T-Mobile that says, I cannot pick up your phone. I'm busy. Try later. I changed that message. I said, please, I'm unavailable to pick up your phone. If you need any help, pray or call on God. That's what I did, and I changed it. Please call your father. Your father is never tired with you. But me, I have really to scan who you are and what you need. Because I've been let down. Please excuse me and forgive me for saying that, but that's what I did. We have to run. Opportunity will always create an opposition. That's what the Spirit of God was telling me. And as we are going to see here, opportunity will always invoke opposition. Another thing about opportunity may never show up the way we expect it. It will never show up the way you expect it. You are hoping that all your money will come from the nursing program. I know I already now have so many enemies for saying that. This church is full of nurses and medical people. Can you thank God for giving us nurses, please? Hallelujah. It is a good profession, by the way. I'm not against it. But what I'm trying to say is this. God can use any way to come and minister to you. Opportunity might come up in the name of a child. Do not despise those little people or people who come to you or situations that you find yourself. It might come disguised. You know, the Lord prepackages it and he will let you know. It might be a boss at work. It might be a certain person that you meet. It might be, you might not maybe like elderly people, but an opportunity might come as an elderly person. And if you despise them, Brother Francis, if you despise them, you'll never get a blessing. You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Do not despise. Check out every opportunity. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them, check out every opportunity. Scan them. Shake it up if you can shake it up. Empty it. Try to test it. Because opportunity can come disguised. I always tell you of a story. I wanted to get into commercial business, you know, trying to buy a unit so that I can buy a unit, you know, to deliver stuff from here to there. I went into all the dealerships, Sister Anne, into all the dealerships, and people would look at me, hear my accent, dismiss me. No, I want to buy, you know, this thing here. Can you help me? They say, oh, you know, you don't qualify. I don't even need to check your credit. You don't even qualify. And I never, because I knew at that point that God wanted me to get into that particular business. I kept on knocking on my door. I kept on knocking on my door. Eventually, I went into an office where there was an old man seated behind a desk. And I said, in my mind, when I looked at this man, I said, oh God, can anything come out of this old man? And he looked at me, he said, what do you want? So I explained as I had explained. And actually, it's kind of like a recited story. And he looked at me, he looked at my documents, he looked at me. I said, I knew nothing would come out of this guy. You know the way you can look at somebody, especially when somebody is, these people who have glasses, reading glasses, they're looking at your documents and they're looking at you like this. They're looking at this and they're looking at you. Have you ever been in such a situation? And you already dismiss yourself, I'm not going to get that opportunity. Is it amazing when we have trouble? You know, we always think of the negativity. He's looking at the documents, he's looking at me, he's reading again, he's like, oh God, I knew nothing would come out of this old man. Finally, he removed his glasses, put them on the table, and he tells me, I don't know you. And when I look at your papers, nothing tells me whether you qualify for anything. But something within me tells me to help you. I didn't even have any credit. Man, let me tell you. You talk of credit? If some of us, if that was the qualifying thing to get us to heaven, very few people here would get to heaven. But I thank God that God doesn't check out my credit in order to be acceptable, to be accepted into the beloved. Hallelujah. Whether I have good credit, whether I have bad credit, God says, come as you are. And I'm going to make everything right. As a matter of fact, I don't think that credit is what will determine God to bless me. God can use, because God has given me an opportunity. If only I can meet the right person, he can go past that credit, because exactly that happened. And that old man looked at me, something within me told me to help you. He wrote some things, I don't even know what he told me. He told me, when can you come and pick up the car? So I took up the van, and let me tell you guys, and I drove it for about 2 years, and I was tired, and I wanted to buy a big rig. I looked again, I said, oh no, now, I remember the first time I started doing this, and I didn't want to go through the headache, but I felt it was time for me to transition. Some of you who are in whatever, you know, if you're LVN or whatever you are, you know, situation you're nursing, you want to advance to the next level at some point, right? Whatever you're doing, if you have a kiosk, a small little kiosk, you want the next time to have a grocery store. And the next time you want to be a warehouse distributor. You don't want to just make time in that kiosk, you know, selling, you know, popcorn and tropical. Eh? What is that? Peanuts, you know. You want to at least to develop so that you can sell cooking fat, cooking oil, and then maybe start selling big things in wholesale. That's how we need to be progressive like that. And so guess what? I'm going around looking for somebody who can help me. And eventually, I landed into the same person who helped me the first time. And I told him, you know what? Do you know of anybody who can really help me? Because now I want to transition. I know you deal with vans here and small cars, but I want to progress. He told me, listen, son, I was the executive president of Freightliner. He was the, I thought I didn't hear it correctly. He was the executive vice, somebody very senior, in the company that manufactures these trucks. And he told me, go throughout the United States and look for whatever kind of equipment you want and come and see me. See how God opens up opportunity. If I despised him as an old man and like nothing would come out of him, he looked old and frail, yet behind him, he held something that I needed. And that is how exactly God works. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? The other thing, now, don't ask me where you got this. Now, the devil is sly, and he knows the power of grabbing the right opportunity, and he may send a counterfeit package of opportunity. That's why we need to check it out. Not everything that glitters is. That one you know. So don't go into Harry Hines, you know, people deceive you, this is a necklace, you want to bless your wife, and you tell, oh, baby, I bought you a gold. It might be just a... something that was just chopped out of from tarmac, you know, in Waxahachie. And they made it nicely and they sprayed some silver paint on it. Huh? Huh? Oh, bling bling. No, I'm talking about, you know, if you know, like Rod thinks that he wants to buy you like a golden, oh, baby, I got you a diamond. But maybe they got it somewhere, it was cut off from a block of tar in Waxahachie and painted it and bring it to you. Not everything that glitters is. Check out those opportunities. Because the devil knows the power of an opportunity, and the moment you seize it and you run with it, he knows what you'll become. So he will want every time desire to send some counterfeit counterfeit opportunities. I'm almost done with this opportunity thing, and then we can proceed. How to determine the right opportunity? How do you determine the right opportunity? Are you all ears? Now, this is what the Lord told me. How do you determine the right opportunity? If it is taken up, it changes the current situation to the better. In other words, when that opportunity comes, it changes the situation in which you are to a better situation, to a better place. Praise be to God. It also glorifies God. A good opportunity, when you seize a good opportunity, it will do what? It will bring glory to God. God will be seen in that piece of opportunity that you pick up. A good opportunity does what? Come on, say like you mean it. A good opportunity does what? It glorifies God. A good opportunity also brings joy and excitement. A good opportunity, you'll be excited in your family. Baby, I thank you for that business. I thank you for Mutali for the good clothing that he brought. Ah, and your wife will be celebrating you. It will bring joy and excitement. That is what a good opportunity will bring, Sister Annie, if you didn't know. And thank you for coming. It's good to see you. Praise God. So a good opportunity will bring joy and excitement. The last thing that the Lord told me is that a good opportunity will be a blessing to many. Amen? When God blesses you with an opportunity, he will give you an abundance of whatever, whether it's money, whether it is wealth, whether it is endowment, whether it is spiritual knowledge, so that you'll be able to share it with people. God never blesses us for our own. He blesses you so that you can be a blessing to other people. Amen? That's why God has given you a good job. He has given you some good brains so that you can go to school, you pass your examination, and you become a nurse. And when you get that money, look for somebody to give help to. Because not everybody has that opportunity which you have. So a good opportunity, once you seize it, you will come with your t-shirt, and during my birthday, you will bless it. You bless me. Glory be to Jesus. A good blessing will be a blessing to other people. And you will not feel like, oh, Eloi, Eloi, namasamadhikani, my t-shirt. Where is it gone? You feel so gladly giving it out. Do you know there are people like feel like that? And I'm sorry to use those words. When you're giving your money, you're saying, oh, my God, why am I? My money now is gone. My $20, I'll never see it again. Bye-bye. And when you see Brother Alex bringing you the offering basket, you'll say, oh, God, he's coming my way. Why don't you do the same when you wake up in the morning? Oh, why is this life again? Why has God given me this life again? Oh, don't you wake up and say, oh, I'm alive again and I'm ready to go to work. You know, you go, take a shower, brush your teeth, and you're ready to jump. You're excited about life. Don't you get excited about what God has done? But why do you complain when that piece of basket, and if actually you put up your pocket and you actually scroll with your finger to see where the calibration, you know, oh, no, I cannot even give that. That is that quarter. You want to see where the finger will be smooth, you know, that is a 5 cent. That is what God deserves today. And they come and you put and you don't even want to see. God has been so generous to you. You've walked with perfect health. Your children are healthy. You're in the right mind. Well, wouldn't he deserve really the best? Let me tell you, church, when you give your money, you're not giving it to Pastor Tony. I go work for my money. You know, I go work. Once in a while, you know, I get a blessing from you guys, and it's rightful for you guys to bless your pastor. But I don't stay here in the church saying, oh, Brother Julius didn't come today, so I'm not getting a tithe. Where are you? No. If you don't come, I'll go to work. But you're giving to the house of God. There are needs in this house. Let me tell you, church, I thank God for the care ministry that we started. Now we are identifying people who have really been hit. You know, because we are in hard times right now. And you know what? We are not going to allow any one of us to suffer. No child, and this is very passionate when I talk about this, no child should go without food when we are here, church. So we are going to take some of that money, and we have been visiting families. We've been giving people, you know, we've been going there. Not really to give, we cannot really give everything that you need, but in a small way to show you that you're in a fellowship that cares. Praise be to God. So when you give, you're not just giving to anybody, but you're sowing that seed into the house of God. Opportunity
check out your opportunity. So you know how to determine the right. It will be a blessing to many. So this young man, and I'm almost done. I got a few minutes. This blind man, he saw opportunity. And let me tell you, when he decided to take his opportunity, I believe that within this blind man, he knew all these things that I've talked to you about opportunity. There is something about hearing the word of God and hearing the word of God, because what happens is that faith, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. I cannot even explain to you how God deposits his word and he begins to teach you and to lay down foundations in your life. But I believe it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that when he started shouting, number one, he saw opportunity. He said that I'm tired of my life. I am tired of begging. I am tired of my current situation. And I know here is my miracle, that even though I am blind, but I see opportunity and I'm gonna seize it. Even though I'm physically deficient, yet within me I am alive and I can see the source of my blessing. And I'm gonna do whatever it takes to seize this blessing, because I see myself in the future. I see myself, once I take this opportunity, not to beg anymore. I see myself following Jesus. I see myself being a servant of the Lord. I see myself being wealthy. I see myself supporting missions. I see myself supporting even the work of the ministry. And he saw opportunity. And the moment he heard about it, he started shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And immediately he took the first step towards that opportunity. A position arose. Hey, you shut up. You know nothing. You blind. Why are you bothering the master? Shut up. We don't want to hear about you. But he continued all the more. He was not. Let me tell you, there are people who have been given a call, George, to shout down your destiny. And you know what? We need to be aware. As long as we're in this life, there are people who have been designed to come and shout down. Some Sanballats will be sent to discourage you, Sister Agatha. When you have taken that opportunity, it might be in the name of a professor who might tell you, this is not the line that you're supposed to pursue. You're supposed to go and do arts. But listen, I heard from God, you're a Sanballat. I don't care what you say. I will keep on treading the ground, because God has called me for something. Be prepared when you seize an opportunity for some Sanballats. Somebody who will shout down your miracle. Somebody who will shout down your opportunity. And it always happens. It will always happen, whether you like it or not. You try going to school. It might be in the name of a professor. It might be maybe fees. You don't have fees. Everything was lined up, and then the last minute they cancel the fee structure. It might be, you know what, the classes are no longer available. It might be even the person, the counselor, doesn't even like you. There will always be something. Maybe a car breaks down when you're just about to go take that interview. It breaks down. It's been running the whole year. But that very day, there's no gas in the car. Never run out of gas. But that very morning, when you are going to take the very opportunity of your life. Or it might be maybe somebody calls you, tells you, the thing has been postponed. Be looking out. Don't complain when those oppositions come. They have been lined up for you. Are you listening to me? And don't worry when they come, because they have been designed. Opportunity will always invoke opposition, whether you like it or not. I'm serious. Oh my goodness. Are you listening to me? Whenever you plan to pick up on an opportunity, it will invoke opposition, whether you like it or not. I don't care what goal are you on, you're trying to invoke. This man called on Jesus. Was he planning to do a bad thing? He was tired of his life. Man, think about this, man. I mean, let's look at it critically. This guy has been here. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he was here. But every single morning, I believe maybe people dropped him there and he was begging for money. And then these people, I don't even think these people had a clue who this man was. Just because he raises his voice to reach out for an opportunity, somebody comes and smacks him down. You shut up, you know nothing, you blind. Who are you to call on the master? You know, they don't even know my life. They don't know where I've been. They don't know how long I've been here and long for to me to have an encounter with my master. And yet when I have an opportunity, they are rising up against me. Listen, I don't care whether you've been sent to me, my son Balat. You don't know my life long enough. You don't know where I've been. I've been through mountains. It might be maybe I tarried throughout the night so that my master would come my way. I've waited for this too long. You cannot stop me. Glory be to Jesus. Tell them, you cannot stop me. I am going to go whether you like it or not, whether you raise your voices or not. You cannot stop me. This is my opportunity. I'm going to go through this door, whether you like it or not. I pray to my heavenly Father, Brother Sabi, and you cannot let it, you cannot stop me. He continued all the more. You remember the lady with the issue of the blood. There's always something that hinders you. She could not even, she was actually an outcast before the people. But she says, I have seen my master. I have seen the Messiah. And I am going to do, I don't even want to touch him. But if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I believe that I can be whole. Oh, glory, glory, glory to Jesus. Somebody, are you listening to me? There will be only people. There might be a crowd. I may be too short to have a focus on my Jesus. It might be a physical deficiency. It might be a Zacchaeus who really desired to see Jesus. But he ran and did something extraordinary. He climbed on a sycamore tree. There might be a sycamore tree by your side. And you might be a lady. And you might even be having a skirt on. Do not worry when they laugh at you. I'm climbing on this sycamore tree. I don't care what you guys are going to say. But I know there is something I want to get. I have seen my opportunity and I'm not letting go. I cannot let this one go, Pastor. I cannot let this opportunity go. I don't care what you say. After all, men talk and talk and they will keep on talking. They will stop talking after I have received my miracle. Glory, 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 glory to Jesus. And this other, so when he continued, he kept on. Jesus said, stop. That's one thing I like about Jesus. Your persistence will pave way for you. Your persistence, you can write that down and take it to the bank. Your persistence, regardless of the opposition, will pave way for you. Eventually, you keep on knocking on that door. Let me say this to me. Keep on knocking on that door. You might not see. You know what some of the prisoners who are hardcore. I saw a documentary of a hardcore prisoner. He was trying to chip his way to get through the window. And you know how they make those bricks in the prison wall? They harden them pretty enough. And the guy sharpened, I don't know where he got a tool. He sharpened it, and every single day, he was edging up a little bit by a little bit. I don't say that it's good for them to do that, but I want to give an example, an illustration. He keep on digging a little by a little, little by little. It took about 6 months. Every single day after lunch, he knew that he had the energy, Minister Julius, and he was inching just a little with his piece of tool. Eventually, you know what he did? He was able to fit in that hole, and he left a figurine in his bed, thinking that, you know, when the prisoners came, they saw somebody sleeping. The guy is long gone. But he was determined. He was not going to be stopped by any wall. The devil is going to erect some walls when you decide to take on something, you know. But say, I'll keep on beating this wall. I'm not going to give up. I'll keep on beating this wall. Eventually, you know what is that? What's going to happen? That wall is going to give way. And God is going to usher you into your destiny. Are you listening to me? And when Jesus said, let everything stop, and he came back there, and he told me, bring him over here. To the amazement and disillusion of so many people who had tried to silence this man up, Jesus looked at the man. I love Jesus. Jesus, man, my God is a gentleman. And I love this God. He asked him, what do you want me to do for you? You want to tell me Jesus didn't know that this man was blind and needed healing? Yet Jesus is a gentleman. He really so modest. He asked him, what do you want me to do for you? I want to receive my sight. I want to stay in my future. I can see my future, Lord. And if only you can agree with me, I only have the object. And only if you can touch the object of my faith, then I will receive my sight. And Jesus told him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Each and every one of us,
you have a measure of faith. Bible tells me faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I don't care how the size of you. It might be as small as a mustard seed. That is the object for which God is really, really willing and ready to tap into and usher into your destiny. Are you really so hungry for that opportunity? Are you really so hungry to see yourself in the future? Then grasp that little faith. It might be little, it might be much. It doesn't even matter. As long as it is an object within you, God is able to activate it and do incredible things in our lives. Some of us have been slowed down, or we have been discouraged because people say that we cannot. Let me tell you, if you listen to the voice of the Sanballat, you will never go anywhere. But I believe now is the time when we have to recognize that there's going to be a voice of a Sanballat speaking out in our life. And whether he likes it or not, we are still going to go through and build up the wall. Are you listening to me, church? Are you listening to me? A time has come when the object of your faith will begin to yield some incredible results. You may not even know the Bible. God does not expect you to know any Bible. Everything. As long as you start somewhere. Start by reading the book of John. You will be amazed how the Holy Spirit will take the word of God and make it life. And you really begin to apply yourselves with the scriptures. You'll be in wonderment what the Lord is able to do. Church, I believe it is time to call on the name of the Lord. He is passing by here. I don't want to lose an opportunity, because I don't know when that next opportunity comes. You might be even 35. The next opportunity might be knocking on your door when you're 42. I don't want that kind of a thing. When this opportunity comes, it's for me to jump into it and be ready for whatever happens. I know that I've heard my Lord speaking to me that it is right time to jump right now, and I'm jumping right now. Whatever happens, I know God is my deliverer. Within that opportunity, there is deliverance. Within that opportunity, there is a way of chattering through how God knows exactly how it's going to come out. It is all prepackaged and is within the opportunity. Just go scoop, put your hand. You know, when I give you, if I give you a package of so many things, don't you reach out your hand and say, oh, he gave me this too. Oh, he gave me this. But all that package is written opportunity. Look out for perseverance within the package of opportunity. There's going to be perseverance. There's going to be wisdom to handle those Sanballat's voices that will be coming to you. There's going to be the way you are supposed to talk to your husband, to let him know that this is God and you have to let me do it. Amen, somebody. There has to be a way to convince your children, it is time for me to go take this class. They might not like it, but there will be something within the opportunity package that you can release. And when they eat it, they will say, oh, surely the Lord has spoken. Check out what is within the package of your opportunity, because it has everything that you need that will line up to your destiny. Stand up on your feet in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. One thing I love about the Lord, that he is ready to use anybody as long as you're available. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be an expert long distance runner in order to be a runner. God can convert you to be anything. He can create. You know what? You can be Bill Gates today, George. And you may not even have financial. Did Bill Gates, by the way, did he finish high school? Some of those guys, Steve Jobs, I was reading the story about Steve. Is this Steve Jobs? He never even went to college. I think he dropped out of college. Here the guy was so, God had put some design mentality within him. He was able to create things that has changed the world over. So you don't have to be suited on in a certain class in order to pursue things God wants you to pursue. All we need to do is be available. You have everything. I normally tell my son, I know you have everything that it takes for you to succeed. And I'm serious about it. I will tell you too, you have everything that God needs in order to take you to the place where you want to go. It doesn't matter who you are. Because along the way, if you're deficient in a certain area, God will create a divine connection to hook you up so that he can supplement for what you're lacking. Are you listening to me? Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your right hand unto the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Can you open up your mouth and just worship him? Tell him, Lord, help me seize the moment. Help me seize the opportunity. Yes, Lord, help me recognize the right opportunity when it comes by me. I don't want to let every single opportunity pass by. You might have been placed in a certain office so that you can witness to that boss. It might be your superior. It might be your inferior. It might be you at that right moment. And when you tell them about Jesus, your promotion might be on your way. You might be headed up to something greater than you are. But until you seize that opportunity, God is not going to move you until you take that opportunity and tell somebody about him. It might be somebody who needs an encouragement tonight. And you are there in their life just to give them encouragement, to move them and to take them through these 3 months that have been so difficult in their life. Have you taken that opportunity? It might be you've been sent into that office so that you can light the light of God into that office by just smiling to people. And when that atmosphere changes, people will be receptive to the word of God when they go to church. You might never know what that opportunity is. But God creates opportunities for us every single moment. And it's for us to recognize when opportunity comes. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that you shall help this, your children. Help me, because I'm all included also. Help us, Lord, even to seize the opportunity, Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord, even to be so to be people who are men of perception, who will be able to recognize the right opportunities when they come by. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit of the living God, may you cement our relationship with you. Father, you say in the book of John 10 that my sheep know my voice. When we know your voice, we know when you will be sending an opportunity our way, because we're so familiar with your voice. We thank you, Heavenly Father, and we give you the glory. Hallelujah. I pray that you shall strengthen the feeble-hearted today in this meeting. Father God, may you elevate those who are needed this morning. Somebody might be needing a financial breakthrough. Lord, may you meet with them. Stretch your palm, hold your hand and meet with them according to their needs. Oh God, there might be somebody who is desperate for you. Reveal yourself to them so that they may know how to seek you better. Somebody who is having a desire to read the word of God, yet when they read it, do not understand. Holy Spirit of the living God, begin to interpret this word. Make that life, that word of God, to be life to them. And create a desire within them so that they can love the word. And that they can love the people of God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You might be here, you've never given your life to Jesus. And I want to give you this opportunity. I wouldn't like this opportunity to pass you by. For too long you've had the word of God. You've had the word of God, and every time you've been postponing it, and you've been saying the time is not right. Now, I want to tell you, this is the right moment to open up your heart and then let the Savior in. Once the Lord settles in your heart, he begins to create a brand new foundation in your life. And your perceptions of how you look at things will change. You begin to see things in the light of the eyes of God, in the name of Jesus. And you're here to receive Jesus. It's very easy. The Bible says, behold, he stands knocking on your door. If only you'd open up your heart, you'd come and dwell in you. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10, verses number 10, it is through your heart that you believe unto righteousness. And then by the confession of your mouth that you proclaim that Jesus is Lord, that you receive him as your Savior and you're born again. Just that simple. Hallelujah. And you're here, you've never received Jesus as Lord, lift up your hand, we're going to pray with you. Is there anybody who has never received the Lord Savior Jesus Christ and they would like to welcome him into his heart? Lift up your hand, we're going to pray with you. Is there anyone? Hallelujah. Father, I declare that this week coming will be the greatest week ever. We thank you, Heavenly Father. I pray that those deposits, Lord, will create a meaning and bring a revival in our hearts. Thank you, Father. We thank you that you are a God. We appreciate you, sir. In Jesus' name, amen.